I'm not lying. I mean, I'm not going to murder them immediately. I mean, I might murder all of them on my way through, but, like, that's kind of up to them. I say to them. Live from the Mundangerous Secret Tunnel in New York City, I'm your host, Shane.
And I'm your host, Yishin.
And welcome to Actual Play Episode 8 of Total Party Thrill, a podcast for game masters and players where we discuss our campaigns in order to inspire yours.
In this episode, we are continuing our playthrough of the 5th edition adventure, Sunless Citadel.
Eberron is a sorrowful place, where the 5 great nations on the continents of Corvair fought a 100-year war for the throne of Galafar, and only recently settled for peace after a mysterious magical calamity called the Day of Mourning. Eberron is a wondrous place where magic is studied and industrialized, and living constructs called Warforged rub shoulders with elves, dwarves, and changelings on elementally powered airships and lightning trains. Eberron is a mysterious place where powerful magical tattoos called dragon marks shape the fate of their bearers, and the secrets of ancient empires and evils lie buried just below the surface. Of course, dear listener, you don't need to know any of that to follow the adventures of our hero, Tez Proudgale. He's just a rogue archaeology student unearthing secrets in the hinterlands of southern Breland, close to the borders of the gnome nation Zilargo and the goblin nation Dargoon. Though if you do want to learn more about Eberron, check out Total Party Thrill Episode 33 for our full overview of the Eberron campaign setting.
And Tez Proudgale has subdued a dragon. I mean, a small dragon, like the smallest dragon that exists, but still impressive.
It has also been brought to my attention, Yishin, that I had some manacles in my inventory the whole time that could have helped subdue that dragon.
I mean, I don't know that you can just slap them on while she's like trying to claw you, but once she's unconscious, sure, yeah.
Yeah, but you know.
But you didn't use them.
No, I didn't, because those are for sex stuff.
Okay. Meepo loves you more than he's ever loved anyone, so.
It's not for Meepo. It's for Erky.
hurting and healing.
Meepo and Tez have too pure of a relationship to sully it with
you say that now, but when both of you are 35.
Yeah, that's true. Like Sir Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart.
Oh, what a beautiful pair. All right, so you have just gotten a reward from Eustral, including a key to the dragon door near the entrance of this entire complex that you have yet not been able to get through. She has also offered you aid in the form of allowing you to interrogate some goblin prisoners to potentially find a weakness or a point of attack against the goblins, because you need to get in there in order to get to the level below, to get to the druid, the Twilight Grove, and whatever is going on with these twig blights and this crazy apple.
And those kids that I'm chasing.
Also those kids that you're chasing.
Who are adults.
Right. And, I mean, I guess we'll see if they're already dead or not. You get paid more if they're alive.
That's true. I don't know if that's totally in my control.
I mean, foreshadowing, so.
I'll take Erky with me. I don't think I want Meepo in the room with these goblins. I feel like that's probably it.
Fair point. And you're pretty beat up after fighting the dragon, so you're going to take advantage of the kobold's hospitality and rest, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. So we'll just sort of wrap that all up. You take a long rest, and, you know, in the meantime, you're interrogating these kobolds. So 4 small humanoids are shackled by thick rusted chains attached to a large iron spike set in the floor. Several broken weapons and sundered shields lie in one corner. These are 4 goblins... who, as you know, the kobolds and the goblins sort of exchange prisoners sometime. So any chance they get, they'll capture each other and try to sell each other back. Usually, a handful of silver pieces will do it for each one. When the door opens, they sort of instinctively cower. But when, like, one of them sees you, they're sort of surprised. Ah, a human. And did the kobolds capture you too?
No. And I toss a small pouch of silver onto the floor. Not within their reach, right? But I'll leave it there so they can see.
It's very Judas Iscariot. Okay. They look at it. They're a little confused, a little surprised, but there was hope in their eyes, perhaps for the first time in a while.
There's a way that you walk out of here today.
Oh, yes, yes, of course, yes, anything you want. What would you like? We'll tell you anything.
I need to know about your stronghold. I need to know your numbers. I need to know about the hobgoblin who abuses you and presses you into his work. I need to know about the, do I know he's a druid?
I mean, yes, yeah, you're a smart enough guy. He would be a druid.
I need to know about the druid with the frog who forces you to do his bidding.
So they all sort of like immediately start talking at the same time over each other.
One at a time.
So like one is like, oh, yes, we have amazing defenses and there's no way that you can get through. And then another is like, oh, yes, the hobgoblin is very weak and there's you'll be able to take over easily. Just a frontal assault.
I start pulling coins out of the pouch and putting them back in my pocket.
They all stop once you start doing that. Sort of look at each other, look back at you, and then they start speaking in goblin to each other. Erky speaks goblin, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, I look at Erky. Does Erky speak goblin? He does. He does speak goblin. And we share draconic.
Ah, right. And the goblins don't speak draconic. So right. The goblins are basically trying to like figure out what's going on here. Like, is this a trick? Obviously, they like want to get back to the camp. You're speaking in Draconic back and forth, the two of you. They sort of look a little confused by that, but also like the kobolds speak Draconic, right? So they don't seem to like pay attention to that after a little bit. You sort of get the impression that they figure like, okay, you speak Draconic and the two of you are talking and, you know, you're hired by the kobolds or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So they talk for a little bit. Without knowing that you can understand them.
Why is it that they want to attack the colony?
Don't worry about it. Dern is very strong. There's absolutely no way that they're going to be able to take on him and the other hobgoblins.
We don't even really like Dern, right? Like maybe they could take out Dern and then Grenell could be back in charge again.
But, I mean, we'd still have to deal with the outcast. There are a lot of layers here oppressing us, and right now we just need to focus on getting out of this cell.
When they're done, I think I've got that like that adventurer pose, you know, where I've just like kind of hooked my thumbs in my my belt, and I'm just waiting.
It's time for a quest.
Right, exactly. And then when they're done, I'll just say, so, do we have a deal?
So they look at you suspiciously, like they look at the silver, and then one of them says, what is it that you want?
I am truly only here to find the human children who, the adult human children, who came down through your territory and I believe into the grove below. I found the body of the ranger and I seek the other three.
So they sort of look at each other again, and then one of them... It's not a smile so much. It's a bit of a smug look. And he says, they were supposed to have been sent down to the grove. The outcasts wanted all of the living humans, but... And then, you know, it shrugs and says, Dern got angry and killed one of the males.
Which one?
The one with less armor.
That would be the Hugh Creel then, right?
Yeah.
Not mm-hmm. Sir Brayford.
Right. But the other two were sent down. So if you seek them, well, you would need to get past Dern, and there's no way that's happening.
Yeah, actually, let's talk a little bit. Why do you make this your home? Are you, how did you come to be here? How did your clan settle here? It seems that this is a strange place for goblins.
Give me a persuasion check just to see how forthcoming they're going to be.
Well, 10.
Maybe it's time for some division of labor and you change the diaper and Pam rolls the dice because right, you can't do worse.
May well be.
You're trying to put on like a face like, you know, you care and like you're not going to murder them immediately.
I'm not lying. I mean, I'm not going to murder them immediately. I mean, I might murder all of them on my way through, but like that's kind of up to them, I say to them.
So they're still pretty suspicious. But, you know, they don't have much to bargain with except information, so they're talking. As far as they can remember, this is where the group has lived. But there are stories of coming from far away over the mountains and then looking for, you know, looking to expand into human territories. And they found this place and, you know, they were successful for many generations. And then relatively recently, like maybe, you know, 10 years ago, the Hobgoblin showed up and decided that they were in charge. And so now there they are.
So you were, when you say colony, you were literally a colony of the Dakani Empire, yes?
They seem a little stunned that you even know what that is.
Of course I know what it is.
Yeah, they sort of like look at each other and then one nods and it seems like he's like actually leveling with you. It says, yes, the Dakani. Once our people ruled all of this land, this entire continent.
It was frankly tragic that your empire fell to give rise to the human empires.
It was the greatest of all empires, yes. And it was riven from within, and now the humans claim our lands. We are far removed, and Dern is, well, he is powerful, but he does not rule us like in the ways of the Dakani.
The Dakani Empire has fallen, but the goblins' empire still exists. The nation of Dargoon still. I mean, it's not even too far. If you wish to leave, you could return. You would be, well, I don't know what you would be to the ruler or to Dargoon today, but you know, you would be reunited.
Give me a history check.
Ooh, not 20 plus 2, 22.
Boom. All right, so you know the Hobgoblin who currently rules Dargoon, which basically declared itself an independent nation only a few years ago, is the Lesh Haruk. So if you name drop the Lesh Haruk, they are extremely surprised that you have any idea who that is.
I am not personally acquainted with the Lesh Haruk, but I assume that they would welcome their brothers and sisters back into the fold with open arms. You would be perhaps seen as heroes.
So they're looking at each other, speaking in Goblin again to each other. And they're like, what is going on? Who is this guy? Give me a persuasion check, but make it with advantage.
This feels like it would be a good time to invest some bless, but I feel like it's maybe a little too late. Or, you know, guidance or like anything.
Guidance is a great spell to have. Yeah, I offered it a couple times.
I know, but we're rolling it natural, mm-hmm. And that's going to be okay. 12 plus 7 is 19.
That is more than okay. So they seem kind of pumped about this. They're interested, and they say, Grenel talks about this sometimes. And then one of them sort of gets angry and sort of like smacks the other one. Like, you know, like, don't talk. But sort of shrugs him off and says, wait, hold on. This could be our chance here. Grenel is one of us, a goblin. And she wants to overthrow the rule of Dern, but we're not strong enough. They have good weapons and armor. But if that were to happen, if someone were to take out Dern and his hobgoblin guards, then Grenel could take over the group again and would let you pass to go find these adult human children.
Do you possess the numbers to sneak me in? If I arranged for you to be returned, does Grenel possess enough loyalists to sneak me in to face Dern without needing to kill more of you than necessary?
They look at each other And then it seems like they come to a silent consensus that they're going to trust you on this. So the one who seems to be in charge nods and says, if you return us, we will very quickly be returned to our posts as guards. This is what always happens when we are ransomed back.
That makes sense that, like, it's the guards at the front entrance that are the ones who keep getting captured. Yeah.
Yeah. If you signal to us when you come, if we set up something prearranged, we can let you in to the secret tunnel that leads to the throne room and the entrance to the grove. It will be up to you from there. Grenel will make sure that the other goblins don't get involved. You will need to take out the hobgoblins.
And how many hobgoblins?
He says there's Dern, and he has three other hobgoblins with him.
Mm.
They have fine weapons and armor.
You will record this deed, yes? You will record that Tez Proudgale fought the hobgoblins and restored you to your autonomy.
Well, Tez Proudgale doesn't quite transliterate into goblin, but I'm sure we can find some sort of way to write it down that won't mean something dirty, probably. But yes, yes, of course we will record this, of course, yes. In our annals, the great annals of our group, which we shall take back to the Lesh Haruk. There seems to be a little bit of embellishment in here.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that they have real annals, do they?
probably not, but who knows? Maybe this will start.
It's more of an oral tradition.
Is this an amenable deal?
Yes. I will have you returned. I will have you ransomed shortly. In 2 days' time, I will return.
Okay, they nod. And they'll give you some more information. So yes, there's Dern, who is a hobgoblin who has good gear. Splint armor, he's pretty strong, stronger than a regular hobgoblin. And then three other hobgoblin guards. They're pretty sure Grenel, who is a divine spellcaster, won't immediately jump in on the battle, right? She's going to see which way it goes. But if things look bad for Dern, she might step in. Especially she might step in to get the killing blow, because that sort of cements her leadership.
Just keep the goblins out of the fight. And we'll handle the rest.
They also say that Dern has a treasure chest. They don't know what's inside it, but that exists.
And Tez's eyes glint as he starts racking up the dollar signs. Yeah, so I need to return to Oostrail and more or less tell her that she's ransoming these goblins back, and I will even pay her to do so, right? I will basically pay her a ransom to then ransom them back.
Right, so it's not bad. They deal in small amounts of money. It's only going to be about 6 gold pieces altogether. I mean, they trade in silver, but
right.
You know, for you, it's about 6 gold pieces.
So for me to convince her to...
To basically pay their ransoms, yeah.
Like, and I want them, like, I genuinely, like, I am paying her a ransom so that she can go ransom them herself and collect double, right? Like, that's my play here, because I need this to look completely normal.
Then she is totally on board with it. They agree. 2 days' time.
The symbol, or the sign, the signal, it's going to be a bird call.
You actually see they make it back. A couple of them are sort of accomplished at this. And then they sort of sketch out a crude map. And you can see actually pretty close to the trophy room where you fought Calcerix, like just several rooms away, there is a locked door that leads to a tunnel that leads directly to what looks like a circular... What probably was once a chapel and is now the throne room, and it has an entrance in it that leads down deeper into the grove.
So, have I unlocked the map?
You have. Do you have a copy of that? I think I gave it to you.
I think I have the player version of it, but I genuinely don't know where we are on it. So,
when we get there, I will point it out. You rest. And the kobolds basically leave you to your own devices to plan how you're going to take this out. They release the goblins, make the prisoner exchange. But in the meantime, you've got about 2 days to kill.
I wouldn't say 2 days to kill. I've got some raiding to do.
All right, so there is a door way back at almost the entrance of this citadel that you haven't been able to get through, because when you examine it very closely, you see that the keyhole contains an etching of a dragon's face, marking it as placed there by the original inhabitants of this citadel.
The cult of Ashardalon.
And now you have a key.
I just know how this goes. I'm going to try and check this thing for traps. Specifically anything that's going to be triggered by putting the key in the door.
All right, give me investigation. Or Meepo, give me investigation.
Meepo's investigation is 12.
He doesn't find anything. Also, remember, in this room, there is a door that you know how to open. There's a little loose stone that you press in. And inside, there are three skeletons.
Stop trying to tempt me with those skeletons. Like, I'll clean those up if I still have hit points left at the end of this part of the dungeon, okay?
gonna go in at full strength first. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
There is no trap as far as you can tell. However, you're standing there for a while and you begin to hear the rustlings of movement outside in the masonry rubble. Your guess, of course, would be giant rats.
Still haven't figured out how to set up traps for those things, have I?
Survival checks.
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna try and I've still got those caltrops, don't I?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna try and set up those caltrops in a way that will kind of create a bit of a trap for any rats that get curious about coming in.
All right, that sounds good. So basically the entrance that leads to outside.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess I'm trying to like kind of intermix them with some debris, right? So that it's not just obvious, right?
There's plenty of rubble here because like all of the walls have basically collapsed in here. So that is easy to do.
It's a 15 survival.
Looks like a pretty cunning trap.
Okay. Well, at the very least, I'll hear a rat screaming in pain if they sneak in on us.
At the very least.
Tez Proudgale, pest control completed. I'm going to turn the key in that door.
All right. You turn it. There's a heavy clunk. And then a hissing noise as the room opens. And there's a puff of dust, which indicates that you've actually just broken an air seal. Dust, long undisturbed, covers every surface in this large gallery. The air here is stale. So when the door opens, you can see that there is a large room here, and directly across on the other side of it is a hallway that then disappears into darkness. But inside this room, there are three alcoves on the north wall and one on the south wall. Each alcove contains a dust-covered stone pedestal with a fist-sized crystalline globe resting on it. The globes in the northern alcoves are cracked and dark, but the globe in the southern alcove glows with a soft blue light. Faint tinkling notes issue from it.
I mean, I'm going to check out that globe. I've been trapped by these designers before. Whoever built this citadel was a cunning mind and a cruel one.
It says in Draconic, let me be murdered.
Yeah. I mean, it's getting that subtle. I will carefully creep towards that and keep a lookout for any traps or any betrayals.
Okay, give me a perception check as you creep toward it.
Okay. Well, it's a 1, cool. So 5.
Hey, but your baseline's the what, 14?
14.
So you don't see anything and you don't trigger anything, but you, as you approach the globe, you can hear the faint notes of music are louder. Probably just because you're closer.
Right. Okay. Then, yeah, I mean, I don't detect anything. I'll tell Meepo and Erky to keep an eye out. And I will, without touching it, I want to start, like, kind of getting a sense of what this globe is. Okay. Like, just trying to figure it out. I mean, kind of Arcana, right?
Yes. Give me an Arcana.
I'm so good at this game. 8 plus 2 is 10.
Cool. What you can determine from that Arcana check is that it's a trap. Give me a wisdom saving throw.
Really?
So as you approach it to examine it, the music grows suddenly louder. And the glow in it becomes much brighter. Actually, all three of you give me a wisdom saving throw.
Great. Okay, I actually think Tez is probably fine. 15 plus 2 is 17.
Tez is okay.
Meepo. 8 minus something. 8 minus... 7 is minus 2, isn't it? 8 minus 2 is 6.
Whew, okay.
And Erky...
He should be all right. He probably has wisdom saves. Save?
He does not have any saves.
No, wait, he gets one set of saves.
Oh, I didn't bother with. I'm just using his monster stat block because I'm lazy.
Oh, and he has advantage because he's a gnome.
Ah, yes, he
right?
does.
But wait, okay. Do you want him to have intelligence, wisdom, or charisma? He gets one mental saving throw.
Wisdom.
Yeah, that would be the one to go with.
Okay, because it's the only stat he has plus two in. So.
Right.
Oh, that got a lot better. Okay, it might have been close. He rolled like a 6. But now he's got a 9 plus 4 is 13. I feel like that's probably good.
13 is not. Okay, so...
What?
Oh, my God. Tez feels his mind grow foggy, but then he's able to shake it off. But Meepo and Erky both succumb. They don't seem afraid. They seem like they enter almost like a dreamlike fugue state, but... They turn right around and head back the way that they came. Moving as quickly as they can, heading for the room that you came in, but also they seem to be headed for outside, which means they run across Caltrops.
I'm chasing them. I would like to chase them.
So you chase after them to try to like stop
try to
them.
Grab them, yes, exactly.
Okay, so they're not gonna like
I might have to bring out my sex handcuffs.
They're not gonna fight you to get away from you, but they are trying to move away the entire time. And
shake out of it, shake out of it.
You can still hear the music. So what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do to like keep them from moving? Because they will now start trying to escape your grapple.
I will. Yeah, I mean, I'm like, I'm trying to like physically restrain them. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't know if I'm going to be able to get like a rope around them or something, but I've got to do something. Wait, okay. I will handcuff them together. That way I only have to hold one handcuff.
Where do you handcuff them together?
On the hands. I don't think I can get to their feet realistically and make them a three-legged race as much as I would love to.
Okay. So you cuff them and then you're basically like holding onto the chain.
Right, exactly. And I am, so then I'm going to try and stuff like cloth in their ears, you know, like I'm trying to hide the music from them because I can't, the music is still playing, right? They can still hear it.
All right, so give me an athletics check with advantage.
Okay.
With all of that. Yeah, start with that.
Super good at athletics, as you know. Okay, I rolled a 7 and a 17. Minus 1 is 16.
That
super good at athletics.
Not bad. But you know who was also terrible at athletics?
Both of them.
Both of them, yes. Erky's basically like on the ground.
Who am I?
Has like fallen over and is trying to like crawl his way out of here. You basically sort of like sat on Meepo, who is struggling but is all right. Now they each get another saving throw.
Okay. So let me do Erky first. 19.
Okay, that's a success. He shakes it off and he like seems confused as to why he's on the ground and why you're sitting on Meepo.
And why he's handcuffed to Meepo.
That's not so weird.
Urkiel, explain. We just have to get Meepo out of, like, we've got to protect Meepo. Nope. 8 minus 2 is 6.
Cool. But now it's both of you trying to restrain Meepo, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm fine with that. I think both of you can basically just sit on him until eventually he's going to save. The DC is 15. Eventually he will get higher than that.
Roll a 17. Yeah. Jeez. Okay.
So after about a minute or so, you see like Meepo's head clear. And then he comes to and both of you are kind of sitting on him. He seems a little confused. Is this exploring?
It's the downside of exploring, which is that sometimes you run into traps that that orb was playing music and it seems to have messed with your minds. Urki, do you have any idea what that is? I'm cautious that breaking it might make it worse now that we've overcome its influence.
So what skills does he have?
Spells?
Skills.
Oh, skills. He has medicine and religion.
Cool.
Oh, but actually Meepo has arcana.
Oh yeah, you're right. So it now seems you can still hear the music, but it doesn't seem to affect you anymore.
I suppose I could just leave it then, huh?
Well, have Meepo make an arcana.
Okay. 12.
I mean, he did better than you. So he's pretty sure that you've resisted it, but that's not going to be permanent. Eventually, right, like, it'll affect you again, but you're probably good for a while. He also thinks that if you attack it, it might get stronger. But, you know, you can see there are broken ones up above and they to the north, and they don't work. So you could probably break it. You just don't know how strong it will get before you break it.
If I cover it, like if I take a bedroll and just cover it, does its influence seem to weaken? Like when it deafens the music, or
it doesn't change at all. So the music is just as loud. It's not any quieter, but it doesn't grow any louder.
Okay. What about if we cover our ears? Did that seem to do anything?
You can still hear it, but it does seem quieter.
Okay.
So it doesn't seem fully to be just sound.
Well, boys, do we break this thing or do we leave it for the next guy, who is probably us?
That's certainly a possibility.
Coming back out. I think we should deal with this. I think that's the responsible thing to do.
And Taz always does the responsible thing.
That's, you know, it's an opening bid.
How do you want to deal with it?
All right, I'm going to fashion a harness for it out of the rope that I no longer need to use to restrain anybody. And I will also take my handcuff and keys back. Again, might need that later. But I'm going to just kind of like something to just like just set over the top of it so that we can pull it down from a distance, right? Like I want to just yank it off the pedestal, and hope that it will be smashed on the floor. In fact, I will set a piton below it on the floor so that it's got like that. So it falls onto like a point, right? And hopefully like that pressure. And then if that fails, we're going to smash it with, with a sling and a club and me smashing it with my stick, my short bow quarter staff.
All right. So you tie a rope around it and you set up a piton.
Right.
So you're trying to pull it so that it lands on the piton, right?
Exactly.
All right. Give me an attack roll, a dex-based attack roll.
Okay. Come on. I rolled a 1.
All right, so you yank it off. It completely misses the piton, but it does hit the ground with a clunk. Okay. On the hard stone floor, you can hear it crack. But the music then grows louder. Wisdom saving throws.
Okay. Great. Is this charmed, by the way? Is this a charm effect?
Oh, it is a charm effect.
I have advantage.
You would have had advantage, yeah. So you and Erky both have advantage.
That's good, because I rolled a 1 and a 14.
Cool.
So I have a 16, and Erky has a 14 and an 18, so I think he was good either way, but that's a 22.
Erky succeeds. You fail.
I failed?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my
music's
God.
Even louder now.
Okay.
Well, what about Meepo?
Screwed. 2.
Yeah. Okay. So you and Meepo make a run for it. You're deeper in, but next round you're going to be on the Caltrops.
Right. I think Erky knows that he's got to smash this thing.
Okay. So what does he do?
He's going to rush up and just try to club it down, right?
Okay. Go for it. Let's see if he can hit it hard enough. So make an attack roll.
Actually, no. Hang on. He'll try to pick it up and drop it on the piton.
I
think
okay.
that's still actually our best approach. Like, not pull it with the rope from far away, but mm-hmm. just pick it up and drop it.
So he's just going to
slam
pick
it
up with his hands and smash on top of the piton. All right, no roll needed, but roll damage. Give me a d6.
5.
That'll do it.
Okay.
It smashes. It almost breaks in half, and the music stops immediately. And
perfect.
You guys are about to run into a Caltrop field, and you skid to a halt when you come to your senses.
I grab Meepo. I grab Meepo by, like, the collar. I'm like, nobody. Not like this.
All right. With the trap disabled, there is a hallway leading further to the west.
I close the door behind us. Can I do that?
Yes. Yes, you definitely okay. can.
That way, if anybody takes any more runners, we're not... we're at least partially impeded. Okay.
So you can close it. Do you want to lock it from this side with the key?
You know, I think so, yeah. I think okay. I'll lock it. And I think what I'll do is I'll just, leave the key in the lock.
Okay, yeah.
Right? So that it's... Because no one can... I mean, no one can take the key from the other side just because it's sitting in the lock on this side.
So there's a hallway ahead of you, and on the other side of it is another door.
I mean, we're going to check the door for traps. Check everything for traps. 3 times. So that's a 15 from Tez on perception.
Okay. It's a good thing you said check everything and not just the door. There, so you step into the hallway and you're heading toward the door, and then you realize there's something weird about the floor. You look closely, and there's a pressure plate.
All right, I will. I'll take a piton, and I'll take that magic piton and just kind of use that to wedge the pressure plate up so that it can't trigger.
Okay.
Can I take a look and see what the net effect would have been?
Yeah, you look closely and you can see several arrow slits up by the ceiling. So you're pretty sure anyone who steps on it is going to get pincushioned.
Got it. Well, glad that didn't happen.
You open the next door, and inside is another semicircular room.
I check for traps.
So dust fills this hall like a layer of gray snow. In the rounded northern end of the chamber stands a 10-foot-tall sculpture of a coiled dragon carved from red-veined white marble. Go ahead and give me that perception check.
13 plus 4 is 17.
Cool. Okay. No traps in here. What you do see, though, is when you approach the dragon statue, its mouth starts to move. Not in a, I'm going to breathe fire on you. It moves like it's speaking in common.
We come by night without being fetched. We disappear by day without being stolen. What are we?
Shadows.
Nothing happens.
Stars.
Ah. A previously unnoticed door in the western wall opens. It pivots into the room. And looking inside, you can see there's another room with alcoves on either side. And then at the far end of the room, a pit, and then another room with faint light in it. There's something in there, but you can't quite make it out.
Dust cloaks the contents of this 20-foot-wide hall. 6 alcoves line the walls, 3 to the north and 3 to the south. Each alcove, except the southwest one, holds a humanoid figure carved of red-veined white marble. The figure resembles tall elves in plate armor. A stone archway at the west end of the wall opens into a wide room from which greenish light glows. A dark pit is situated before the archway.
You said one of them doesn't have a... one of the alcoves is empty?
Right.
I would like to search that alcove. Actually, I would like to... let me just make sure there's no traps in this room. It's like, always sketchy around here. I'm going to search for traps.
Okay.
That was cocked. Hang on. Okay, well, I got... it was either a 9 or an 11, and I got a 9 on the second one. So that feels about right. 13, which my minimum is 14.
You don't see any traps, but when you do go look at that alcove that doesn't have a statue, you can see that the dust around here, because this entire place is completely dusty, is disturbed by tracks that look like they were made by tiny humanoid feet with claw-like nails. So they start at the alcove, they move west toward the pit, and then they disappear into the pit.
I will check the pit. Do I find a kobold in there?
You walk over and look at the pit. It looks like just like a regular pit. There are spikes at the bottom of it, of course. And you lean down to look inside. There isn't anything that or anyone that you can see inside there. However, 22 AC.
Yeah, that'll hit.
You take 4 piercing damage as tiny claws slash you. And make a constitution saving throw.
Well, I'm so good at those. I actually am. 20 plus 1, 21.
Ooh, that's good. You are not poisoned, although you can see thick green ichor on your skin, although it doesn't seem to have fully penetrated the wound. And... behind you, you now see what looks like... well, actually, make an arcana check. Meepo, 2, if you want, or 1 if you gives the other advantage, whatever.
I rolled a 1. Meepo rolled a 16, plus 1 is 17.
Ah! Fiend! A fiend! Meepo knows that this is a Quasit, a shape changer that can turn invisible. They are sometimes bound as familiars. Which has attacked you, and seems to be laughing at you.
Do you wish to die, fiend? I say in, I guess, Draconic.
I don't intend to, no. And do you want to fight it? It's going to fight you.
I guess. What else am I going to do?
All right. Give me an issue.
I bind it to my will. All right, I have lousy, I have a 6, Meepo has even worse, a 5, and Erky, the hero of our story, has a 19.
Erky goes first, then the Quasit goes, and then you guys.
I find it remarkably unlikely that Erky would not attempt to purify this fiend with sacred flame.
That makes perfect sense.
So it needs to make a dexterity saving throw.
Save. Wow. 23.
Okay, well, that's gonna succeed.
It shakes it off, so. It shakes it off. It is going to disappear.
Was it flying?
It was not flying.
Can I see tracks in the dust disturbed where it steps?
Give me perception. It will make stealth.
14.
It rolled garbage for stealth, so yes, you can. You can see it's skittering towards Erky.
I mean, I will attempt to stab it with my rapier.
So you know its location, but it's still hidden. So you'll be making it with disadvantage.
Yep. That tracks. All right, a 10 and an 8. This is doable. The low one is a 13 then on my rapier.
That's going to hit.
Blindly fencing in the dark is 8 damage.
You skewer a Quasit, which becomes visible again.
Is it dead dead?
It certainly seems dead dead. And then you can see, so it's basically like hanging limply on your rapier. It's not very heavy at all. And then its body slowly turns into mist and disappears. And Meepo can tell you, oh yes, it has returned to Kyber. Whereas Essence will, I mean, it's just a Quasit, so its Essence will reform probably into another Quasit, but not the same one.
Is this something your ancestors frequently consorted with, Meepo?
Yeah, he seems shocked. Shocked. He's indignant. Never. Never. Dragons do not like fiends.
Curious how it got here. It seemed trapped. Perhaps somebody died here and left it behind.
That certainly seems a possibility, because what you can see in the other room, so you're like, you were standing by the pit when you got attacked. Mm-hmm. You can see into the other room. It's only a 10-foot wide pit. There's a sarcophagus.
Can I see what's on, like, the, because I've seen the sarcophagi on the other side, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they were kind of carved into a shape. Can I tell the shape of this one?
This one's really big. It's like 9 feet long. So whatever's inside it is tall. So violet marble tiles cover the floor and walls, although pretty much all of them are cracked or broken, and underneath is rough-hewn stone. There are sconces attached to the walls at each corner, one of which has a torch that is burning with a greenish flame. The sarcophagus is made of marble, and it's carved with dragon imagery. And the head of the sarcophagus resembles a dragon's head, and there are rusting iron clasps holding down the lid on all sides. At least that's what you can see from here. You have a 10-foot wide spiked pit to cover, to cross, if you would like to get there.
I mean, I'm still, like, I'm frankly still weirded out by this empty alcove. And there were footprints there, which makes me think there's something about it.
So if you look at the footprints again, they were definitely made by the Quasit.
Oh, they were the Quasit. Okay.
Tiny clawed humanoid feet.
All right. I mean, can I, like, I don't want to just leap without looking, but, like, can I see anything over there, like, that would indicate a pressure plate or any other type of trap? Or can I see how this pit was, like, a trap at some point? Like, does it look like this was a floor that fell away that somebody triggered? Or, like, it seems a little too obvious to just have a pit in the middle of the floor.
It seems weird to have just an open pit. Yeah, give me another perception check.
13 plus 4, 17.
You don't see anything. It does seem like an obvious trap. Maybe it's ceremonial. Because inside you can see that, you know, there are the trappings of, like, an honorable burial. And then if you look at, like, Erky has religion, right? If you look at the statues that are standing there, it looks like an honor guard.
Like when you say the pit is ceremonial as well, like, there's, like, decoration on the inside of the pit, like it was meant to be looked at?
No, but, like, the pit itself might just be there, not as, like, a trap, but more like,
like a symbol.
You know, stay away. This is a person who is honored in death, and so you shouldn't, like, loot this.
Okay. I'm gonna hop across, guys. Heal me if I get hurt.
What's your strength?
It's 8. I don't know that I can do this very easily.
So yeah, you with no check, you could jump across if you had a 10 strength. But since you have an 8, you'll need to make an athletics check to get across or figure out some other way to cross this.
Even with, like, a running start?
With a running start, you can jump 10 feet. You can jump your strength score in feet. In so you feet. Can make it 8 okay. feet. Now, you okay. could, I mean, you can make your 8 feet and then make a dexterity save to try to catch the ledge and pull yourself up. But if not, then you're going to land on those spikes. Or you can make an athletics check to try to clear the entire thing. Or, you know, figure out other ways across the pit.
How deep? The pit's 10 feet?
Yes, 10 feet.
And is there anything anything on the ceiling that I might be able to, like, lasso a rope to?
It's just a not even a door frame. It's just like a hole carved.
Okay. I'm still Tez Proudgill. Mm-hmm. What's the point of being a rogue archaeologist if you can't get across a 10-foot pit?
That's
right. I go take a running start and just leap across, and I'll just grab the ledge. It's not that hard.
Okay, so you're just going to go for the deck save?
Yeah.
Do it.
All right, 13. 13. That's a 14 minus 1.
Easy. You make it look so easy. You alight on the other side like you knew you could do it the whole time.
Good. Erky? Meepo? Oh, Meepo.
Meepo.
I don't know if you can make it, bud.
Meepo isn't sure either.
You know what, Meepo? Keep your sling at the ready. Erky and I can investigate here. This is the last room, right? Like, there's no other doors here?
Right. Do you want to look around while you're in here?
Yeah, yeah. And I'll have Erky leap to the other side. I am checking for traps. I still don't trust this, ceremonial or not.
So give me another perception check.
So he has a 17. I had a 9, which will be a 14.
You have already seen this before, but the torch in the corner has continual flame cast on it. So it's an ever-burning torch.
Yeah, I will be
yoinking it.
I'll be grabbing that. Yep.
You can't see anything. There aren't any traps in here. And there doesn't seem to be anything else in this room except for the sarcophagus. There are 6 iron latches, like thick iron latches, holding the stone top of the sarcophagus to the body of it, but they are all rusted. There doesn't seem to be any sort of like lock or mechanism that you could pick, doesn't seem all that strange, but you're pretty sure that you know, with enough effort, you could pop off the latches.
Okay. Is that a thieves' tools kind of thing, you feel like? A sleight of hand?
You think it's going to be like down and dirty, pull out your crowbar.
I mean, I have a crowbar.
You do have a crowbar.
So I will use my crowbar and prize it open.
All right, give me a strength check, and the crowbar gives you advantage on this.
Maybe I should have... You know what, Erky?
Erky grabs a crowbar.
You're a big, strong...
Right. Gnome.
Gnome.
Spits on his hands. Let's do this.
Not... the worst possible roll, I guess. 7 and a 11, so 11.
So it takes him a while, sort of like working it back and forth, but eventually, yeah, he is able to like pop one off. You can see that they're like really well sort of like riveted in there. Like it was very nice whenever, like it was well made by like an actual artisan long, long ago, even though it's begun to rust. And if he just keeps at it, eventually he can work these things off. It's going to take him a while, but he can pop them all open.
Okay.
So he gets 4 or 5 of them off. There's one left, and he's like, he looks at you, and it's like, all right, I'm going to do it. Are you ready?
I turn to Meepo. Meepo, you got that sling ready? You got your head knocker?
You know, when you call it a head knocker, yeah. He yips a little, and yes, he pulls it out, gets ready. Erky has 2 hands on the crowbar and is going to pop off this latch. What are you doing?
I have a rapier in one hand and a dagger in the other, and I'm ready for business.
All right.
Open for business.
So he pops open the last one. The entire lid suddenly slides down, so like from the head down, and there is a bright green flash of light. And inside, you can see a troll.
Oh, that was unexpected.
It's dressed in rotted finery, but its jewelry and rings are adorned with tiny silver dragons, and they still sparkle. The creature's body is shrunken and elongated, and its flesh is a rubbery, putrid green. Its eyes flash open, and it snarls. Roll initiative. And we'll find out how this goes next time.
And let's talk about how our listeners can get in contact with us.
We do love hearing from you.
You can tweet at Shane at Mundangerous. That's M-U-N dangerous.
And you can tweet at Ishan at Evil Sans Carne. That's malice minus meat.
And you can tweet at the show at TPTcast.
You can also email us at TotalPartyThrill@gmail.com.
And you can find us on the web at www.TotalPartyThrill.com.
We're also on Facebook and Instagram at TotalPartyThrill.
And join the conversation on Discord. There's a link in the show notes. And before we wrap up, we want to take a moment and thank our Patreon supporters.
Your support is what makes it possible for us to keep doing this show. So if you'd like to learn more, you can check out all our rewards at patreon.com/TotalPartyThrill.
All right, what do we have planned for next week's episode?
We're going to see you get eaten by a troll on our playthrough of Sunless Citadel.
Well, that's it for Actual Play Episode 8 of Total Party Thrill. I hope we lived up to our name, but either way, I'm Shane.
And I'm Ishan. Thanks for listening.